And welcome back. Certainly, if there was a person who left their mark on professional basketball, is it our guest this first hour with us. He played 13 seasons with the Boston Celtics, and of course, during that span, they had 11 championships in those 13 seasons. 1971, inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame, and he has written a book called Cousy on the Celtic Mystique. Bob Cousy, the playmaking. Were you a real guard, actually, Bob? How would you describe your position in today's way of looking at professional basketball?
Yeah, they didn't have labels, really, on all the positions back then. Today, obviously, you've got your center and your power forward, your small forward, your shooting guard, and your point guard. So if we need to ID my responsibilities, it was point guard, I suppose. I think I only shot it at about 40%, so I don't think I could be classified as shooting guard.
We recently had one of your teammates, Tommy Heinsohn, on the show, and in listening to what he had to say and having heard you talk numerous times about the Celtics and reading this book, there is something that really jumps right out at me, Bob, and that is the fact that when you talk about teams, I guess there are a lot of teams you could mention that fall into the category as true teams, but truly, in my mind, there is only one team, and that is Celtic teams.
Well, I guess we all, from time to time, after maybe having a beer or two, start to boast about the old days, and it's—I'm sure you can imagine—it's a complete bore to anyone in the audience. No one wants to hear about the good old days. But if I do get carried away from time to time, what I like to feel very proud of, really, is having played a role in what I consider the most, really the most significant and meaningful sports dynasty in the history of this country. I mean, you can talk Yankees or Montreal or Green Bay or whatever. There has been no sports team on a professional level that has ever completely dominated their particular sphere of endeavor the way those early teams did from 57 through 69. I mean, they won 11 out of 13 times at a time when it was more difficult to do this because there were less teams and the talent was more concentrated. So, when you talk about Celtic Mystique and what it was all about, you have to really hark back to that unit because that, as I say, was a performance that never happened before and, frankly, will never be repeated again for a lot of reasons we don't have time to go into here.
I was rather interested in the choice of the title when you say On the Celtic Mystique. When I think of the word mystique, I think of things maybe being partially true, partially done maybe with mirrors. I thought maybe you might say the Celtic legacy. What is the difference?
Well, it's only because I suppose, realistically, it's because we felt this was most marketable, Ron. it also is the most asked question that I get going around the country. If you speak and you do Q&A or whatever, or you meet someone in hotel lobbies or airports, and the conversation gets around to those good old days, how did the Celtics do it? How did they win 16 championships in 30 years? What mystique? What mystique? I mean, people assume that it has mystical proportions when actually I think any of us who have been close to it know that it's much more basic than that. And it's like any successful group or organization or business or I suppose government. You need solid people. You need a healthy work ethic. You need unity and harmony in terms of the people that are involved, things of that nature. But it's I think the public that has put the mystical aspect to it more than anyone else.
Having spent some time myself as a sportscaster in the Boston area, being very familiar then what this franchise represents to the area, I find it amazing about how it is totally engrosses the area like no other team. Now, I know the Boston Red Sox kind of have a grasp on New England as well, but what is the difference between the way the Celtics relate to that region of the country and, say, something like the Boston Red Sox, the Boston Bruins, or even the New England Patriots?
Yeah, only winning on. That gets everyone's attention, and based on what we said a moment ago, the foundation that's been laid, and this has been literally only in the last 30 years. When I came up on the scene in 1950 out of Holy Cross, it was strictly a hockey at least in the wintertime, it was completely hockey-dominated in terms of the interest of his fans. Basketball, and certainly professional basketball, had no standing whatsoever. And so we didn't get anyone's attention until 1957, but once, as I say, we started winning championships, that kind of got everyone in the swing of things. And then this was transmitted down to the kids. And now I think without question, basketball is, well, on a national level, basketball is the most participated sport, team sport, played by young people. And I think this is what started to occur. And obviously, when you start involving, you know, the kids in a large way in the sport, this again translates into family activity, and then, as I say, winning the championships, and you know, the Celtics became the darling of the region. And despite the fact that the Red Sox and the Bruins and now the Patriots have had momentary success, you know, they've had exciting teams, but they haven't done it with the consistency that the Celtics have.
There was another thing that jumped out to me in the portions of the book that I read, and that is the fact that I felt that, as you've already pointed out, the 16 championships over a 30-year period, that a lot of the Celtics' success over the years has been the fact that they won those ball games before they even took the floor. And it was because of attitude, it was because of a mindset, it was because of preparation, it was because of intensity, it was because of integrity, and it was because of talent. Did indeed, Bob, the Celtics win a lot of championships on things that you did not even see on the floor?
Well, once the talent fell into place, that's true. You know, it's senseless to talk in these terms with athletes that are involved in a team sport if, you know, if we aren't standing here having a team that's won 16 championships or 11 out of 13 or whatever. In other words, no one gives a darn, you know, about why you won one or two championships, or certainly if you haven't. It becomes completely innocuous. However, once you establish a track record, and once a team does create this kind of a successful atmosphere, then almost whatever you say about it in retrospect takes on greater proportions. You know what I'm saying? And so now these intangibles and these subjective things that you're talking about, I think have a much more real meaning than, as I say, if we were talking about, because a lot of these things, you know, the harmony, the relationships between players, between player and coach, for instance, or player and management in those days, a lot of the teams had that, you know. So once the talent got put into place, now if this kind of harmony had not been present, if we hadn't been properly motivated by Red Auerbach, if Russell had, you know, if the talent wasn't in place, it wouldn't have happened. But since the talent, once Auerbach got the talent, then all of these peripheral things that create a successful atmosphere, now this, I think, is probably the biggest reason why they were able to sustain that success, you know. So, yes, the psychological aspects, the parquet floor, the flags that hang up there so that the opponent comes in intimidated, and then the fact that the Celtics have exploited this over the years, all of these things start to play a role. But first the talent has to be there, and then, you know, you've got to create some identity first.
Was the book laid out on purpose in the manner in which you had two chapters on Red Auerbach, and then you talk about Bill Russell on and off the court, and then Russ against Wilt, and motivation and more motivation? Was that laid out on purpose that way because that was the development of the mystique?
Well, pretty much, yeah. It all started. Arnold came to the Celtics the same year I did in 1950, and, you know, he's the glue that has held it all together. He creates an aura and a presence, and, you know, just that sense has permeated the entire organization, and as the young players come in, you know, they since they were kids, they've read about Arnold Red Auerbach and what he's accomplished, and so... Yeah, that's the starting point. That's where it all began. It took them 6 years to get the motor started.
We're going to take a quick time out here. We'll come back on the other side. We'll also open up the telephone lines if you'd like to talk to Hall of Famer Bob Cousy, the name of his book, Cousy, on the Celtic Mystique. I'm Ron Barr. You're listening to Sports Byline USA.